Remind everybody that I'm not here for the next couple of weeks. I will be in America for the next 2 weeks, but please God, we'll be back 3 weeks from today for the next topic, but I'm sure there'll be an excellent person here in the interim, and there will definitely be a share as far as I'm aware. Today's topic is Hachnasas Kala. Having come out of Hachnasas Orchim last week in Parshas Vayera, So this week everybody's looking for a shidduch. Yitzchak is having a shidduch brought from Aram Naharaim down to Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu, also having buried Sarah, is remarrying Keturah. Everybody seems to be in the marriage frame of mind. So if that's the case, I thought we should be as well. And therefore I'd like to look with you at the very beautiful mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala. Let's remind ourselves at the beginning, we've seen this before, what the two mitzvahs d'oraisa are that we're doing when we are involved in such acts of chesed. The Rambam, which we've seen before in number 1, but we'll see it again. Mitzvah Sase Shel Divrayim. There's a positive mitzvah of the rabbis, the Rakecholim and Nachem Avelim, to go to a hospital, visit the sick, to go to a shiva, lahoitzi hameis, to bring out the dead. And then he says, lahachnis hakala, to bring in the kala, v'chein l'sameach hakala v'hachosun, so too to be m'sameach kala v'chatan. We'll talk about why he puts it in that order soon. U'l'sa'adam b'kol tzarcheihem, and to give them everything they need to set up home. He specifies these three mitzvahs, three separate mitzvahs of chesed, hachnasat kala, the sameach kala v'chasen, and the sa'adam b'chol tzarcheihem, and he says, as he says, for all of them, ve'elu hein l'musal tzadim sefer gufay, this is all chesed we do with our guf, with ourselves, as opposed to our money, ve'elahem shi'ur, there is no shi'ur, and again, we said in the past that there is a shi'ur, in the sense that one isn't required to destroy oneself, in order to do all this chesed, or to make oneself into a wreck. But nevertheless, he says, in principle, there's no shi'ur, but afal pi shekol mitzvos eilu divrayim, even though these are all rabbinic mitzvahs, hari ein bichlal v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. They're all included in the Torah mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. When you dance at a wedding, when you give a wedding gift, when you bring the kala under the chuppah, we'll see what that means in a minute, we are doing the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. That's mitzvah number one. Similarly, let's not forget, when involved in chesed, there is another mitzvah that comes along with that, which is the halachta b'dracha, to copy God, to be godly, and to emulate what we see God doing. Look at number 2. V'amar Rabbi Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, why does it say, v'achrei Hashem Elokeichem Selechu? You must follow God. V'ki evshev, chi evshev lo la'adam la'alechach ha'shechina. Can a person really follow the Shechina? What does that mean? V'alo kvar ne'emar, doesn't he say, ki Hashem Elokeich ha'esh oichlahi? God is a burning fire. God is too close to touch, too ephemeral to define. How can you be like God? Ella says the Gemara, very famous, we have to copy Hashem's midot. Now, we see Hashem doing various acts of chesed in being a giver. Ultimately, being a giver is to be godly. We see this with Bikur Cholim, with Avram Avinu. We see this with Hachnasas Orche, with Hachnasas Kala. We'll see in a minute. We see this also with Leviath, Nichum Avelim, when he goes to greet Yitzchak after Avram Avinu dies. We see this also with burying the dead, with Moshe Rabbeinu, who is buried at the end of Dvarim by Hashem. But we see it also specifically with Hachnasas Kala. Look, skip number 3 for a second, we'll come back to that in a minute. If you look at number 4, it says in the smack, actually this is not the smack, this is a posik, that's just to trip you up. This is there's an incorrect reference there. This is a posik, of course, in Bereishis. The posik in Bereishis says, "Vayiven Hashem Elokim esat seila." God builds up. Vayiven. God builds up the side of Adam, ashelakach mina Adam leisha, into a woman. Vayiveha el Adam. He brings her into Adam, which is an interesting use of the word. Not just he gives it to Adam when he pops her in the Garden of Eden, he brings her in to Adam Harishon. Look here in number 5, in Avos Rabbi Nosson, where Rabbi Nosson says, Amalahem, he says to his students, Banai, Get involved in Hachnasas Kala. We see Hashem involved in Hachnasas Kala, and he brings the pasuk we just saw. But even Hashem Elokim Es Hatzela, who nitzasek bekala? Anu achal achas v'kama v'kama. So much more so we have to. The Hekim Matzim Shekodesh Baruch Hu Nitzasek Bekala. Where do we find Hashem involved in Hachnasas Kala? We see this here. But even Hashem Elokim Es Hatzela, mikan shetikne Hakodesh Baruch Hu lechava. Hashem fixed her up. He made her look nice. He made her up. We see this famous midrash. The kashta kakala, and he gave her kishutim. He gave her makeup and he gave her jewelry like a kala. The hevieha etzal adam. He didn't just throw them together in the Gan Eden. He brought them. He made a ceremony of it. Shneema v'yevieha el hadam. So this use of the word v'yevieha is there to indicate that a marriage is not just to be a casual affair. A marriage has to be something which is orchestrated and choreographed and brought together in a way that even Hashem does that. And we actually involve ourselves in that a little bit as well. I found you this Rashi here in number 3. Let's go over to number 3 for a second. Rashi is going through the Sheva Brachas that we say under the Chuppah. And he says the first Sheva Bracha that we make is Shehakol Bara Lichvodo. Why do we say Shehakol Bara Lichvodo? It's got nothing to do with marriage, particularly. Why do we start? Why do we open with that bracha? So he says, "Eino mina sedel." This is not really one of the order of the seven. We pop it at the beginning. Ela la sifat ha'am. We make this bracha on the gathering of the people, all the people together at the chuppah. This is a bracha. The bracha is a shevach. The baruch Hashem. We see all these old friends here. We see these people together. We are all gathered here at this is a bracha to celebrate the fact that all these people have come from far and wide to the chuppah to give chesed, to remember as a remembrance of the chasadim of Hashem, shenahag im Adam harishon, which Hashem did with Adam, shenah elo shushvin, God became an usher, as it were, for Adam. The nitzasik boy, like we saw in the medrash, va'asifa zo, and this gathering kvoid hamakom here is a covered Hashem ubracha zu lekach, and this is a bracha on this lekach nitzkanu mishach atifa he roi levarich. So it's very nice, you know, when they stand up and they read at the weddings like they used to read. You know, we have a telegram from Australia from Uncle Harry and Auntie Shirley who wish you all the best. Yeah, they don't do that anymore because everyone just sends a WhatsApp or a tweet or a text or whatever. But the original version of reading out the telegrams and celebrating everyone together is this bracha. We make a bracha, Baruch Hashem, all these people wish you well. And we are emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doing the mitzvah of the halachta b'drachav. Next time you stand in the chuppah and you hear the bracha, she'akol bara lichvado, think about the fact that this bracha is celebrating that particular issue. Now, the schar for the mitzvah of Hachnasas Kala is very significant. There is an interesting episode with Izebel. Izebel, who of course is the wife of Achav, and is not one of the heroes of Tanakh by a long way, we see a prophecy that comes to Eliyahu Novi, number 6. Vayhi dvar Hashem el Eliyahu. God speaks to Eliyahu, Hatishvi leimor. Kum, raid likrat Achav, go and see Achav, Melech Yisrael, Asher b'Shomron. Vehine becherem Navot. Now you know the story how he killed Navot next door. He set him up and he killed him, and she helps kill him in order to get hold of the vineyard. As she yarod sham lirishto, that he's gone and occupied this kerem. The gamli Izebel diber Hashem, and Eliyahu gets a message that also the God spoke about Izebel leimor, saying haklavim yochlu et Izebel bechel Israel, that the klavim will eat Israel. They will eat Izebel. The klavim will eat her. That's a message he's given to tell Achav. How does that pan out in the end? Look at number 7. But Yehu Yehu Yisraela. So Yehu, the king who usurps the kingship of Achav, he rides in to Israel. Yehu, by the way, is the person who is described elsewhere in Tanakh as driving like a meshugana. Okay, Yehu is the original Israeli driver. He's described as driving around the Shomron on a chariot at high speeds, regardless of the rest of the traffic. Okay, the Yavo Yehu Yisrael, he comes to Israel. The Izebel Shama, Izebel, who is now the widow of Achav, she hears him coming. Batasen Bapuch Einah, she puts her makeup on. But take the Beis Rosh Hashanah, she does a hair, but Tashkei Ba the Chalom, and she looks out of the window to watch Yehu coming in. The Yehu Ba Bashar, he comes through the gate, but Tomar, and she says to him, Hashalom, do you come in peace? Zimri, Horeg Adonav. She calls him Zimri. He's not Zimri. He's Yehu. But she calls him Zimri because Zimri is another character in Nach who rebelled against his master's servant, killed his master. And she calls him Zimri, which gives a shtech to Yehu. But Yisapanav Elachalon, he looks up to the window of Ayoma. He doesn't even answer her. He says, Me iti, me. Who is with me? Come on. Who is with me here? Vayashkifu Elav Shnaim Shlashos Sarisim. And some of the Sarisim, some of the people who are working there, they look down, two or three of them, at him. But Yoman, he says to them, Shimtua, push her out of the window. Bishmatua. So they realize which side they've got to be on now. Yehu is the new boss. They push her out of the window. Beizmi Damai Lakir, it's a bit gory, I'm sorry. Her blood splatters all over the wall. Bela Susim and the horses, and they trample her. That's it. Yizevel is finished. So what do they do? They have dinner. They came in, they sat down, and they ate. And then they said afterwards, Nu, pikdu na es harura hazot. Let's deal with this cursed woman. Let's at least give her a burial. Kibas melechi. Now they realized, bas melechi, even though she was a Rasha'ah, she was a bas melech. Vayelchu lekavra, and they went out to bury her. V'loy matzu ba'kiim hagudolet. And all they found was her skull, her head, her feet, and her hands. And they came back and they told him, and they said, Dvar Hashem hu ashediper biyad avdo Eliyahu. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy which Eliyahu said was given, saying, V'chelik Yisrael yochlu aklavim et pesar Yisrael, v'haitan nivlat Yisrael kidemen al pnei hasadeh, and her body lay like dung on the fields, the Chelik Israel, lo yomru, so no one could say, Zot Izebel. This is the kever of Izebel. A nasty end for a nasty woman. But, three bits remain, the head, the arms, the feet. So if you look in the Yalkut Shimoni, number 8, Kimelut Chassadin Minayin Anu Londin, where do we learn the power of Chesed? Says Chazal, Izebel. From Izevel, Shehaita Beisa Somoch Lashuk, her palace was next to the market. The Kol Chatan Shehaya Over Bashuk, every Chatan who would come by in the Shuk, she'd hear the music, she'd hear them dancing and clapping. Haita Yotza Mitoch Beisa, she'd run out of the palace. Ubetal Selet Bekapei Yadeha, she'd clap with her hands. Umekaleset Bepia, and she'd sing and scream and make noises with her mouth. She'd go through the steps, through the gate, and she'd dance with them. Okay, and she'd walk 10 steps with them. And there was a nevuah about the haklavim yochlu et Yisrael, the chelik Yisrael, the ha'idbarim shehayu gomle chesed lo shaltu haklavim. Those few things that she used, her mouth, her hands, her feet, she used for the mitzvah of hachnosas kala. They didn't have any power over the dogs, couldn't eat them. Shneimaz says Vayecho Karav Lo Matzor, etc. Interesting medrash about the power of Hachnasas Kala, the power of Chesed generally, and it comes out of Izevel of all places, and her and I assume that she was not necessarily so l'shem shamayim when she wants to dance with the Chatan down in the Shuk. Maybe she was, maybe she wasn't, but she did it anyway, and she had schar for that too. So. That's an initial point about the schar. Who has the chiyuv of hachnasas kala? So we'll see how this works here. Daniel, in number 9, says we find as follows. Shekein matzinu b'Daniel, we find, says the Avos b'Rabbi Nosson, the Rabbi Nosson was Daniel, ish chamudot, shehay mitasig mirus chasodim. He was particularly in getting involved in chesed. Uma heng mirus chasodim shehay ha Daniel mitasig b'hem. What was the specific chesed that Daniel was focused on? Okay, he would get the kala ready. He would be involved in getting the kala ready.
He felt that there was a need for him as the leader of the generation there, so if he's focusing on anything, he's going to focus on hachnasat kal. And indeed the Shulchan Aruch paskens that if a person comes without a wife, eilo isha, ubalisa, if a person comes to the gabayim and wants to get married, we have a mitzvah to help him to get married. For sochin lo bayis, we have to help him rent a house. We have to get him furniture, the clay tashmishoy and things that he needs. The couple needs, what do they have? They don't have anything. And then we find him a wife. We make sure that before we marry him off, that he has some way to survive, etc. And the Rambam points out, this is a focus on the gabai staka, or rabim biyachad, or the rabim together, the community as a whole. No individual has an obligation to do this all for themselves. But the person has to tell the rabbin. But if there isn't a gemach fund, then the yachid must do what he can. If he can afford it. And this is the halacha that we have to have gemachim. And one of the central core gemachim that every community should have is a hachnasas kala gemach. In fact, if you see number 12 for a second, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Gabai Tzedakah Sheyesh B'Yadam Ma'or Tzedakah. If the Gabai Tzedakah are sitting on extra money and they're trying to work out what to do with this money, we have a little bit of extra money in the pot. Yisil Behem B'Sul Lo Yisaniyos. They should use it for marrying off poor girls. She'ein Tzedakah Gedola Mizo. There is no greater tzedakah than to help a couple set up in marriage. Therefore, this is clearly an obligation on the community, and each member of the community must do what they can to prioritize when a person is giving matzik safim, a tenth of the income, or whatever they're giving, then aniyim, and particularly hachnasas kala, is a big part of that. Of course, the individual has an obligation to his family. Look in number 11 for a second. The Shulchan Aruch paskens in Evin Ha'ezer, Chayv Adam Lazoin Banav V'Noisav, a person has to pay for his children. The maintenance for their children, Achiyu b'nei shesh, until they're 6 years old. 6 years old, they can earn for themselves. No, they can go out, they can get a little job, they can do something useful. There you are. If your kids were telling you, Dad, just wave this at them. However, it's not so simple. I'm sorry, it's not so simple. Umisham va'elach, from 6 years upwards. Zanan ketakamet chachamim. The chachamim said, you can't just stop at six. You have to carry on until they're grown up. When a kid's grown up, that's a good shayla. Okay. V'im loy rasa. If you don't want to help your kids and pay for them, goyrin boy. We criticize that person. We force him and we push him and we press him. You can't leave your family like this without money. And if he doesn't want to, machrizim alav b'tzibur, we make a public announcement about the guy. We say, ploini achzarihu. This person is cruel. Okay? The ainu rotzil azumbanav. He doesn't want to look after his kids. Baharihu pachot me'os tame. He's less even than a trefa bird. Shehu zaneh b'roichav. Even any bird in the sky looks after its young. Says the Ramah, V'dafkili inyun mazonas habonus. This is really talking about just giving them sustenance to eat. You can't force someone to marry off their daughters. You can't force someone to put their hands in their pockets. Even though it's a mitzvah to give your daughter an appropriate nadunya, an appropriate dowry, okay? We call makam loy chayfin on leh. You can't force a person to do that. Ela mashi yitza, whatever he wants, yitin. Rakshi yitzi. He should actually help her to marry, but money is a separate issue. A person has an obligation to give his children what they need in order to survive, but to be emotionally blackmailed into paying a fortune for the wedding, says there are more, a person doesn't have to give in to that. Of course, this is easy in theory. In practice, it's a difficult thing. We have not yet married off any of our children. Our oldest is only 20, so we have this delight waiting for us coming in the future. One of my friends smiled at me and told me that when he was marrying off one of his older kids, and they're a Chutznik family, and they were marrying off to an Israeli family, and this was a new experience for them. I'm sure some of you may have had this experience, and they had to kind of go through this financial negotiation, which they were doing in Hebrew, and of course, you know what it's like, you don't really know what's flying, and this is the first Mechutin. So at some point, when things weren't going so well, so the Israeli Mechutin, he broke into English, and he said, listen, the most important thing is Shalom Bayit. If you want Shalom, you must buy it. At that point, he said, this is a whole new world. And he moved on from there. Yes.
I heard the same thing
differently
about a wife. If you want Shalom, your wife, buy it.
Okay, fine. Buy it for your wife. That's nice. That's a nice story. I like that. Koina Kol. I must use that. You can't publicly force him, but he has to marry her off. He has to bring her to Nisuin, as far as I'm understanding that. It means he can't just say, I'm not interested, but you can't force him to pay more, meaning that there are cheap weddings, there are expensive weddings. He has to marry her, but he doesn't have to marry her at the Waldorf Astoria.
He doesn't have to give her a dowry, but he does have to give
He has to give her what needs to get married, and of course it depends who she's going to marry. Now, when it comes to Hachnasas Kala, what is Hachnasas Kala? So, the Gemara in Brochus says, V'yiviel ha'odom, remember we saw that God brought her to Adam. Amar Rabbi Yirmi Yiber Eloza, Malamit Shenasi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shushvin, God became a Shushvin, La'adam HaRishon. What is a Shushvin? So it's an usher, it's an assistant, whatever. So Rashi says, Shushvin, Mishtadel B'chupato, someone who helps get ready the chupa, V'zivugo, and someone who helps to make the shidduch. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the first Shatchan. And you see also that this whole idea of getting the marriage together is also part of this mitzvah. We call it Hachnasat Kala, bringing in the Kala. And Rashi explains why. Look at number 14. Tam Rabbanan, Mavatel Talmud Torah, La'itzaz Ameis, Ula Hachnasat Kala. Where even Mavatel Talmud Torah, we'll see what that means soon, in order to bring a bride under the chuppah. So Rashi says, what does it mean to bring the bride? Lelvoisa mi beis aviha le beis chupata. To take her, to accompany her from her father's house to the house of her husband, to the beis chupata. Now, we don't do this so much in this way anymore. What someone was telling me in Morocco, it used to be the minag, they used to dance the girl from the parents' house down the street. They probably were only three streets away. They're moving from here to here. From there to there, they'd bring her out, they'd take her in, etc. What do we do today? So the Taz, already in the 17th century, is concerned by the fact that we don't really do this anymore. We don't really do Hachnasat Kala. So look at what he says. Kaza Bedrisha, the Perush Rashi Begemora, okay, he brings the Perush Rashi, Hachnasat Kala, Levoisa mi beis aviya, Levoisa chupasa, Mizen nira hagoin, it seems from this that it's appropriate, okay, Lelavota Kala bizmanenu, to try what we can today to accompany the bride. When they bring her under the chuppah, just like we do with the chatan. Meaning, people come with the chatan and walk with the chatan, you know, the whole crowd to the chuppah. He says, actually, on the contrary, he ikar, she is the main thing. To walk with her is the main thing. Shaharilloi nizka ela hachnasat kala. Nowhere does it say anywhere hachnasat chatan. It says hachnasat kala. Therefore, if anyone's going to bring in someone in a procession, it has to be the kala. And he says, b'kzat mekomot shaharbe anashim chashuvei ha'ir. There are places where some of the important people in the town holchim ba'amat or be'emet. I'm not sure what this means. They must be be'emet. They go forward probably likrat kala to greet the kala. And when they get to her, chozrin la'achrehem, they walk backwards la'achupa to the chupa. Then nikragam came leviyav and achonhu. This is a nice thing to do, and I think we have vestiges of this when the kala comes in, you know, with the little flower girls dropping the petals on the white carpet, and people stand up for the kala. This is part of the mitzvah of giving kavod to the kala and bringing in the kala, and this is part of the mitzvah. Yes. The Taz is a perush on the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz is Rav David Halevi Siegel, and he lived in Poland in the 1700s. 17th century, excuse me, the 1600s, he was the same time as the Shabtai Tzvi de Bartla. In fact, the Taz sent some of his family to check out Shabtai Tzvi to see whether he really was what people claimed him to be, and there are different debates as to whether the answer the Taz got was yes or no, but the Taz, that's when he lived, and that's who he was. So this is in Poland already in the 1600s, and we have the vestiges of that mitzvah today. Had a question?
Just these. It's very different from what we do, and it also doesn't seem very similar.
Why? No, first of all, the men are not crowding the women. They're in a. If you're worried about tanua, you wait till the middle of the next page and see what you say then. I hear there's a way to do it and there's a way not to do it, but like most things in life, if you do it in the right way, with the right sensitivity, then it can be made into something which is very appropriate, and I'm sure that's the case here as well. Go over the page, because we did start a bit late, I have to skip a few sources. There are mitzvahs of to be mesamech, and we need to spend a little bit of time working out what this all about. So is it lesamech kala v'chosen, or lesamech chosen v'kala? So the Rambam said, kala v'chosen, that's number 17. The Shulchan Aruch says, chosen v'kala. And this is not just random. If he chased it, he chased it for a reason. Let's see whether the focus is on the chatan or the focus is on the kala. So there is, of course, a mitzvah in the Torah itself that the kala has to be made happy for the first year of her marriage. Ki number 19, ki yekach ish isha chadasha. Lo yetzeh b'tzava. He shouldn't go off to the army. But lo yavor alav l'chol davar. He shouldn't be asked to do anything for the war effort. He should be free to be with his house. Shana echad, 1 year, v'simach et ishto asher lakach. He must give simcha, he must make his wife happy that he married. So you see immediately from the Chumash, the focus is on who? Is on the kala, is on making the kala happy. And most of the Gemaras that we see in Ksubas there and Daf Yud Zayin, they're all focused on the kala. Number 20, Ketzad Meraglim Lifnei HaKala. It's not Ketzad Meraglim Lifnei HaChatan. I know they say, they change that in the song, or the bands, they sing it at the weddings. They say Ketzad Meraglim Lifnei HaKala, Ketzad Meraglim Lifnei HaChatan. I've heard the band say that. They made that up. That's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says, Ketzad Meraglim Lifnei HaKala, Beisham Yorim Karana Kamo Shehi. We talked about this when we talked about Emes HaShekha. Do you have to tell the truth? Can you lie? All of those things. Beis Hillel says, Kala Nava Chasuda. Now, what is going on with Ketzad Meraglim? What they're doing is they're dancing with the Kala, and they're praising her, they're singing to her, they're saying things to her, they're making her feel good. And the question is, what kind of things did they say? So, Rav Dimi, who traveled from Yerushalayim, from Eretz Israel to Bavel, says in number 21, Ki Asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Israel to Bavel, he reports back there were a few Amoraim that were always on the move from one place to the next, and they bring back news, minhagim, etc. Hachi Masharu Kame Kalsa B'Ma'arava. This is how they sing to the Kala in Israel, he's telling the people in Bavel. When they have a chasna in Israel, this is what they do. They say, Loi Kchal, V'Loi Srag, the day that you don't need makeup, you don't need eyeliner, you don't need blusher, you don't need Devil Pirchas, you don't need any makeup at all. Yasachem, you're beautiful without. Interesting. This is perhaps one of the hidden messages in the Gemara to the makeup people, not to over make up the kalas, the chasnas, which is also something which can happen. But the Gemara is saying that they would sing to the kala to make her feel good. And the question is, why are they focusing on the kala? So one of the obvious answers is that she is the most nervous of the two. At the end of the day, she doesn't know what she's getting herself into. If you buy a new washing machine and it doesn't work, you can always take it back. But if you get a husband and he doesn't turn out to be what you expected, then it's ochenvei. There's not a lot you can do. So she needs a lot of building up. He also does, and we'll see that the Rav Elchanan Wasserman stresses the need to build up the chasen. Maybe that's why it's chasen v'kala, because he has all the responsibilities, he has all the financial responsibilities, although maybe that's not true anymore. But he, I'm thinking both of the parents and of the wife, okay? But He may also need to be built up, but the focus seems to be on her specifically. And we see that one of the things the Gemara even mentions is what we today call shtick, stuff that people do at weddings. The Gemara specifically mentions that as being a thing to do at weddings. Number 22, Amru alav al Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. Very beautiful Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, they used to say about him as follows. Shehaya noitel bad shal hadas. He'd take a stick of hadas and myrtle branches. Umarakid lifnei akala. He would dance in front of the kala. It's very clear that the kala was sitting in a place where the men would dance in front of the kala. And they still sometimes do this at chasnas, although these days everyone is a bit nervous about these things because everyone's very frum these days. But they bring the kala into to sit with the chasn, and they dance in front of the kala. This seems to be the way it definitely was. Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi dances with a funny myrtle in front of the kala. The oimen, he sings to her, kala na b'chasuda. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak meraki matlat. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak could do a special dance with three. When he juggled them, or he did something silly with them, whatever. Amar Rabbi Zeira turned around to Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak at one point and said, kamach sivlon sabi, you're making a fool of yourself. Don't make a fool of yourself. Then, when Rav Shmuel died, kinach nafshe, when Shmuel died, ifsik amuda denura ben didei lekula alma, there was a pillar of fire that separated his kever from everybody else. This was a sign of great honor. Ugemirion, we know, we learned, the light ifsik amuda denura ela echad bedora itrei bedora. Only one or two in a generation merit this, whatever this pillar of fire is at the Levaya that they experienced, this happened. Rabbi Zeru was there at the Levaya. Rabbi Zeru, who criticized him for making a fool of himself, and he said, "Ahanyalei shutite lasaba." This person was benefited. This person got this merit because of his myrtle branches. The Amrilei, and some people report not that his myrtle branches, what he said, but shtute. His shtuyot is what gave him the schus, and Rav Zeira is chayzer. He says, I was wrong. I said he was making a fool of himself. Actually, what he was doing was making the kala and the chosn happy, and that was exactly the right thing to do. And therefore, the origin of the idea, the things we do, the chasana, the funny dances, and all that stuff. People with their hats on fire and all that kind of stuff. I remember our chasna, there was a guy who had three legs, you know, dancing in the chasna. There was a guy with his hat on fire. I do know the guy who set his hat on fire did it once in the King David Hotel. And nearly started a national emergency there because people started running in with fire extinguishers because the carpets were worth, you know, $30,000 per square foot. But whatever, so he didn't do it there again. But where we got married at the Heathrow Park Hotel, they didn't care too much. So that was fine. And the Rambam brings in number 23, if a person is doing something lechvoid shamayim, they shouldn't be too focused on their own cover. Afal pi sheyeh adam choshev, even if a person is choshev v'yoseh, they ain't darko likach dvarim min hashuk, and they don't normally go doing the shopping, picking up the eggs and the milk. The lo yitaseg v'malacha shebevayis, and they don't do the housework normally. Chayav la'asos dvarim. They have to do these things. Shehen v'terech ha-shabbos. He's talking about Shabbos. Don't turn around and say it's beneath me to do this, even if that's not normally what you do. But good for you, you have to do it yourself. Shizehu kvoidoi. It's not beneath you. V'chachamim arishonim mehem mishahayim afavtel ha'itzim levashel behem. Some people, they used to chop the wood to make food for Shabbos, even though they didn't need to, they had people to do that. They do it. U'mehem shahayim avashel. Some of them would do the cooking. The guys would make the cholent. This is the origin of the men making the cholent. Okay? V'imolech basah. Some of them would salt the meat. Or goydel psilos, or make the wicks, all the kind of things, or madlik neiros, or light the candles. People would do this even though they had servants, they were choshev of people. Nevertheless, if a person is doing something lechvoid shamayim, it's not considered to be a bizayon, as long as they're doing it appropriately, but there's an appropriate way. Now, you were worried before about bringing in the kala. Look at number 24. Rav Acha says the Gemara, Marchivla would pick the kala up and carry her, a kasve, on his shoulders, Umarakaden would dance. Now, there are Mephoshim that want to say she was on a chair. She was maybe on the chair and she was carrying on a chair, but one way or the other, he picked her up and danced. Amri le Rabbanon, so the young rabbi said to him, Anan mahul me'avid hachi, can we do that, Rabbi? Can we pick up the kala and maybe her friends and pick up the kala and dance around? He said to them, listen, He said to them, "Idamim alaychu kekshura. If she feels to you like a block of wood, the chai, then go ahead. Ve'iloi, but if that's not true, loy, you better not do it." Now you can take this in whichever direction you want, but at the end of the day, there were all sorts of people. Some people bring this down as the origin of the mitzvah tanz, where the Rebbe comes in with a scarf or a gartel or whatever, and he dances with the kala. The Rebbe's dancing with the kala, so he doesn't pick her up on his shoulders, but this is perhaps one of the origins of it. Again, if something is done in an appropriate way, then you can deal with the sniut angles and still have a nice atmosphere. Of course, we extend this. The whole concept of Sheva Brochas is there to extend the simcha for 7 days. Sheva Brochas is very ancient. Look at number 25. Moshe hitkin Sheva Shiva Yemei HaMishteh v'Shiva Yemei HaLa'ivol. Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Gemara, brought in this Dirabonon of Sheva Brochas and also the idea of the Shiva. The Korban Eidah, the classic commentary on the Yerushalmi there, says, Kloimar Midoraisa. It's Minatora. Islam, we have this, Sheyu Shivas Yemei HaMishteh v'Shivas Yemei HaEvil. We have a concept, Doraisa, not just Dirabonon, of the 7 days, the 7 he brings, but Yaakov, it says with Yaakov, Meloi Shavua Zot, remember the whole point with Yaakov and Leah, then Laban tells him, finish the week with Leah, and what's the week? The week is the Sheva Brochas, Uksiv, and then elsewhere it says, by Yosef and Yaakov, Yat La'aviv, Abel Shivas Yamim. And we see again a Shiva of 7 days in the Chumash. So the idea of Sheva Brochas is very ancient, and may even be have its roots in the Doraisa. Number 26 wants to, the Rosh wants to say at least the first day is Doraisa, but Sheva Brochas is something to be taken seriously, and is all part of extending the Simcha out into the week. I miss, this is just a personal thing, I miss speeches at weddings in Israel. I like speeches, although nobody else seems to. And I'm hopefully wise enough to realize that it's not clever to make a speech where nobody wants to listen. But at least at Sheva Brochas you get the chance to say all the nice things you wanted to say. In England the speeches work because everybody's polite and they sit and they listen. They might think what they think, but at least they're polite and they sit and they listen. But in Israel, to my, dissatisfaction, it doesn't seem to work that way. And everybody just talks all the way through the speech and it's all a waste of time. They can't hear the speech anyway. The noise of the music. That's another thing, which is a problem, which is I'm not dealing with today. There is, of course, a concept of covers for the chosen and the kala. Have a look here in number 27. This is a famous source in Chazal. Hachosen doime lemelech. By the way, it doesn't say anywhere that the kala is doime lemalka. It's the chosen. The focus on the kala is simcha. The focus on the chosen is covered. And of course, she has the reflected kavod. The wife of the king is the queen, even if she's not the queen in her own right. So the chosn is doma lemelech. Ma melech hakom akaltin oseh. Just like the melech, everyone praises him. Shivas yemei amishter for 7 days of feasting. Ka chosn akom akaltin oseh. Shivas yemei amishter. Ma melech loivish bigdei kavod. The melech wears clothes suitable for a king. Ka chosn loivish bigdei kavod. Ma melech simcha umishter lefanov kol hayamim. Just like a king, everywhere he goes, there's simcha, there's people clapping, there's people singing, everywhere. They say the queen of England thinks the whole world smells of paints, because about 100 yards in front of her, wherever she goes, there's some guy painting all the buildings to make everything look nice, and she thinks that the world smells of paint, but actually, you know, she doesn't know. So too, everywhere the king goes, everywhere the chosn goes, everyone is singing and dancing. Kach chosn simcha mishter lefanav kol shivas yam. Ma melech einu yotze leshuk levado. Just like the king wouldn't go out without an entourage, kach chosn einu yotze leshuk levado. And there are halachas that are brought down of some people needing a shmira, and the chosn needs a shomer, and the kala needs a shomeret, etc. Ma ha melech panav meiros ka'or hachama. Just like the king's face shines like the sun, kach chosn panav meiros ka'or hachama shneimah v'haya chosn yotzei mechupasai. It's like a chosn coming out from the chuppah is compared to the sun. This is a pasuk that my rav used under our chuppah many years ago, and therefore there's lots of comparisons of covered for the king, covered for the chosn, and this is something a person has to think about. There is another side to the coin, which is on the guests when they go to the chasna, they can't just go there, grab a meal and leave. there is an obligation on the guest to actually do something to make the atmosphere. And this is brought down in an interesting Gemara number 28. Amar Rabbi Chalba, Amar Rabbi Huna, Amar Rav Huna. Kol ha'nehne misudas chosen, ve'enu mesamchoi. If a person goes to a wedding meal, but they don't involve themselves in being mesameach b'chosen v'kala, oive b'chamesha kolas. They are breaking five kolos, five sounds that came down. Rashi explains, mezalzel b'chamesha kolas, shibirech b'hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu et Yisrael. They are, if you like, trampling on five brachas, five beautiful brachas that the Jewish people were given by Hashem. And they are not taking account of them. Shenem, as it says, kol sason, v'kol simcha, kol chatan, v'kol kalad. These are all the different kolos. Kol onrim hodu et Hashem tzevakot. People praising God. Ve'im mesamchoi maschara. But if he does take advantage of the wedding to be mesameach the chosen v'kala, what does it say? Amar Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, zoche la Torah, he gets Torah, shenitna b'chamisha kolos. So too, there are five kolos which are there at the giving of the Torah. Shenei Amar, v'yihi b'yom ha'shlishi, b'yoyis ha'boike, v'yihi kolos, brakim v'anan, kaber alahar, v'kol shofar, v'yihi kol shofar, elokim yanenu v'kol, etc. Meaning there are lots of kolos at Har Sinai. So if a person involves themselves in making the atmosphere so that they can connect with those kolos, but if a person just sits there and grabs a meal and leaves, that is actually a problem. Some people say it's even maybe theft. On a certain level, you're invited to a wedding on condition that you make the simcha. Sometimes you don't even know exactly when you go to these big halls which wedding you're even at. I'm sure you've had this before. Okay, so after a while you realize that you don't turn up when it says on the invitation. Otherwise you'll be setting up the tables with the barman and things like that. But I'm sure you've had this, but I've walked into Gutnik and places like that and I sat for, 20, 30 minutes. Trying to work out if I know anybody there, and realizing actually that it's not even the right wedding. And then you have a shiloh that you've been nibbling at the food, not that there's not much to nibble on, but whatever you nibbled. And the question is, what do you do about that? But usually they're very happy, you dance a little bit with whoever it is, they don't care, that's all good. And, but a person has to make some... Ah, that's the problem. Yeah, so don't put the money in the safe until you're absolutely sure what's going on. Look, this is, for all sorts of good reasons, something of a nisayon for us today, which is a shame, but it's good. Meaning, Baruch Hashem, we have lots of weddings, which is very... It used to be a village had a wedding, it was like a wedding. You raised a child to be an adult. So many children died in childbirth. To have a child that actually reached adulthood and found a shidduch, this was a simcha sheikamot. Now, Baruch Hashem, every night there's another one. There's a danger. The weddings just become boring. Oh, another one, exactly the same as the last one, with cardboard cut-out people, exactly the same, and the same chuppah. This, we have to somehow find a way that doesn't happen, both for ourselves, in terms of making the chuppah different, and also in terms of making weddings. There has to be a little bit of individuality about wedding. I don't know if that's still allowed anymore, individuality, but somehow or other we have to make that. Of course, for the family, the wedding's special. No question, but for the guests, sometimes you see everyone's on their phone there, during the chuppah, it's a sort of malaise that people have, which we have to kind of break somehow and realize the chashivas of doing this. Number 29, and then we'll finish with the concepts of sneers that you mentioned before. Number 29 brings out the Amar of Ashi, Igra Debehi Lule. What is the reward for going to a wedding? Mili. Words. Meaning, there are some chassadim that you do where it's best if you don't speak. Going to a shiva house, there's nothing you need to say. Going to visit someone in a hospital, there's nothing you can say. What can you say? But go to a wedding, you can't say the shtum. You have to say. That's the whole point. That's different. The wedding, you have to speak. Rashi says the mili, what does mili mean? The sameach, hachosen, b'dvorim. You have to get involved and speak and dance and do things. And there's all sorts of things a person can do at a wedding. But that, says the Gemara, stresses again and again and again that the people have to do that. That's why it said, kol sason v'kol simcha, kol chasa v'kol kala. Kol oimrim hoidu es Hashem tzavakos. There has to be a call of the people who are saying, Baruch Hashem, it's a lovely wedding. That's part of the whole simcha. Just to finish off for a few minutes, you mentioned the issue of tznius, and you're not the first person, because at certain big public occasions, there's always a danger that this can get out of control. If you look in the Pasuk in Michin number 31, Higid lecha adam, ma tayv u ma Hashem dorish mimcha.
What does God want from us in life? He wants us to be fair and honest. He wants us to be giving and kind. And to walk with Hashem in sniut, in the way we perform our mitzvot and all of that. This, of course, is not the Torah origin in terms of the makor of the mitzvah midoraisa of sniut. There is a pasuk which is brought down by the Rishonim as being the mitzvah midoraisa of sniut, and that is a pasuk about the going out to war, where it says v'hayam machanecha kadosh, that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that when an army goes to war and the soldiers need to use the bathroom, so they can't behave like a behemoth, like everybody else in the war. War often brutalizes and animalizes people. Says the posse, the soldier can't do that. He has to have a little shovel. Remember the whole posse there? And he has to go and be in a way which is mechubad. Outside the machane you have a place. Yatzi el machane, you will have a place there outside the camp. And he goes to the bathroom in a way which is appropriate, even in the heat of a battle. And the Mephoshim learn from there that this, the smack brings down, I mentioned the smack earlier, the smack brings down the Sefer Mitzvah Katan. This is the mitzvah, the Raisa of Tzniut, that even in a private, even in a personal space where nobody else can say, a person should not say, Hinei b'chadre chadorim, I'm in an innermost room, Mira Eini, who can see? No, Malach Hala Aretz Kvoda. That is the mitzvah, the Raisa of Tzniut. Which is why actually the mitzvah in Shulchan Aruch of Tzniut is brought in how one acts in the bathroom and how one acts in the bedroom. It's not really a public thing. It's a private thing, which is very interesting. People often associate tzniut today with public, what you do in public. Actually, it's much more about private and extends to the public realm. There's a lot to say about that. But this pasuk in Micha is often brought in a way that a person has to walk with tzniut. And when Chazal pick up on this pasuk, that snei alechet im elokecha, they say an interesting thing, number 32. Zohot za'at hameis, this is talking specifically about a levaya, the hachnasat kala l'chupa. And hachnasat kala. Why? Because these are big public emotional situations, and people sometimes can lose the boundaries. And therefore, there is a need to focus appropriately on sniut at a wedding, and I'm sure this, is, of course, is very subjective. The whole concept of sniut is fraught with difficulty because it's not just a bunch of rules that you can quote from the Gemara. It's a very subjective, societal-based issue. There are some weddings where the chasm and the kala don't even sit next to each other. Okay, fine, whatever. There's a concept of dat yehudit in Hilchos Sniut, which means each community sets norms of appropriate and inappropriate behavior, and what's appropriate for this community is not appropriate for that community, and that's how the Gemara sets it out in Morin Ksuvos there. But there has to be an awareness of that. Rashi actually picks up on another angle of it. Look here, number 33. Af sham tzarich hatzneya. You also need to think about sniut in these big public occasions. Lis'oid b'mida na'a. You have to, the meal has to be appropriate, not too flashy, not too expensive. There's also a tzniut angle, not just in the way people behave and dress, but the way people make the whole simcha. The midanai, the lala hanhig kalut rosh, that's not. The person shouldn't lose it, shouldn't go crazy. The esh omrim im tzarech levazvez hoitzas meis ani ol hachnasus kala ania yaseh betzina. That if a person has to spend a lot of money on a wedding, they should do it in a private way. A person shouldn't be flashy at a wedding, and no one should necessarily know how much money you're spending on a wedding. Don't tell other people, don't let other people know that you're rich when you're making a wedding. There has to be a tzniut in the way that a person spends their money. This often is not as focused on perhaps as it could be, but there is that angle that Rashi wants to bring in tzniut as well. It's not just about the way people dress or behave, it's about the way people spend their money and show how they spend their money. And of course, there are many communities which have limits on what you can do and what you can't do, etc. This is all part of this idea. Finally, I brought you an interesting halakhic issue in number 34, where the Gemara brings down, or Shulchan Aruch, I should say, brings down, Asur lehistakel b'kala. You can't stare at the kala. Lehistakel means to stare in an inappropriate way. The men shouldn't be staring at the kala. But, says the Ramah, aval mutar lehistakel b'tachshitin she'aleha, you're allowed to look at the jewelry, or the priyat rosha, or at her hair. Which is very interesting, because it raises the question of what does the kala do with her hair at the chasna? And this is something that bothers a lot of kalas. What does she wear on the chasna? And does a kala have to cover her hair, or does a kala not have to cover her hair? Seems there are many riyas, many proofs you can bring from many places, that whereas a married woman has to cover her hair in public, a kala has a different din.
A kala has a din of a kala. That all the time she is a kala, and she's dressed as a kala, and she's wearing the veil, and all this kind of, not the veil, but the outfit that she wears, she doesn't have the same din of head covering and hair covering as the regular married person. There are different people who pass in different ways. Some of the kalas they put on the shekel before they even go in the chuppah, under the chuppah. Some of the kalas put on a shekel for the first time in the yichud room, or I can't imagine anything more stressful than trying to deal with a woman who's putting on the shekel for the first time in the yichud room. To my mind, that's not really what the yichud room is meant to be about. It's meant to be a moment of simcha, of quiet, personal connection, rather than stressing about the shekel. And some people don't. Some people have the hair down all the way through, like the Ramah saying, you look at the kala's hair, all the way through until the point at which she's no longer a kala, meaning when she goes back upstairs and she gets dressed and she comes back and she gets on with her life. That point that she's no longer a kala, she has to wear whatever she's wearing in terms of head covering. But there is an idea of the kala yotzad the prius rosha, and therefore that is an added level of simcha that the kala's hair is nice and people can see it, and that is part of the simcha as well. So there are lots of mitzvahs, both on the people who go to the wedding, on the people who are making the wedding, in the way they're making the wedding, paying for the wedding. There are mitzvahs on the dancers, there are mitzvahs on everybody. There are so many mitzvahs a person could do at a chasna, and I think maybe the avoda at the moment is to bring the simcha back into every wedding and make sure that every wedding is as special as the first one. Thank you very much. Next week we'll go further. Not next week. 3 weeks' time for me. Next week you'll have something else to do. Hair uncovered, free up with unbraided. Harua. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, because he needs to know that he's marrying her rather than her jewelry, right? I don't know. The question is.